Life's good.
Never on.
Whoa.
Hard. Hard reset.
Come on, Brent.
Life's good.
Got real close.
The hair high, right?
Trying to hit two thirds.
Have they saved it for her? Yes, they have.
Welcome to Game of Stones, everybody. I am Sean Graham. Scott alongside, as always. Hello, Scott.
Sean. Hello. We're...
Hello.
We're... Hello. We're deep in the midst of the summer season.
Indeed.
Here in the nation's capital, as you so often put it. How you been doing? What you been up to?
Not too much going on. It's really, really hot here in Ottawa, and I believe pretty much all across the country at the moment. So trying to take it as easy as possible. But this last weekend, went to an Ottawa Titans game, Taylor Swift night. A big victory for the Titans, who are on an absolute heater after a terrible start to the season. So climbing back into playoff contention there in the Frontier League. We had an event on Saturday that we attended, and Saturday morning before that, and then Sunday did a little first aid training, Scott.
Oh, look out. So you're fully qualified
to provide first aid. Requalified.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah. It goes, your qualification is valid for 3 years, so I had to re-up. And yep. Always good to get that refresher. You never know when you're going to need it. So good to have it.
Definitely good to have, Sean. Definitely.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Well, you know, we play softball together. That's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Going to sock the ball around the yard. You know, that's nothing wrong with that. I've been watching a lot of baseball, but Sean, we're in the slowest week of sports for the whole year.
Yes. No question.
The MLB All-Star break. And I think it was Monday that I checked, or Tuesday, that I was like, when is the baseball coming back? It might have even been Sunday night as the draft was happening. And I'm like, when are games coming back on again? I didn't watch the All-Star game, but I heard they went to a home run derby to decide who won.
That's what I read too. I haven't seen the highlight of it, but from all accounts, very exciting. And yeah, sure. Now there's nothing. I just checked the scores part on the Score app, and a few tennis matches today around the world. But
okay,
that's pretty much it, even because soccer, football is on a hiatus at the moment.
Yeah.
So there's a CFL game tomorrow.
Wimbledon just wrapped up, right?
Yeah, the Open Championship kicks off
Thursday.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's really those 3 days, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that are. Yeah.
And I would say the Wednesday is the worst because I didn't watch either the All-Star game nor the Home Run Derby, but at least you got those.
At least those are on. That's true.
Yeah. And if you're really big into tennis, I mean, those aren't major. Like, not even just Grand Slam. Like, they're not even ATP 1000 events, but there's matches going on and all that.
Yeah, I suppose you could probably find some snooker on TV or darts or something like that. But
And some non-affiliated minor league baseball. I'm sure there's some of those Woodbat College leagues are probably playing. So
might be, but when's the Frontier League All-Star game?
I believe it was Tuesday night. The All-Star break is the same time as the major leagues.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully the Titans don't lose their mojo.
Yeah, hopefully not. You don't want the layoff to affect their heater.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, it's Sunday, big hit by Titans legend Jackie Urbaez. Going to be the first one to have his number retired one day, assuming the Titans maintain their place in the league. Absolute legend. So things are happening. Not much going on. Should note, too, though, some arena leagues in the U.S. are playing right now. Right. This is their season. Ryan from Rocks Across the Pond was supposed to participate in a learn to curl. He texted us on Sunday, and the arena, nobody showed up. Not that nobody showed up for the learn to curl. There were people there to do the learn to curl, but nobody from the arena showed up to unlock the arena. Hello, the challenges of being an arena league.
Yeah. That's a tough call and a tough go when you you have people there that are excited and like, oops, sorry. Yeah. Not ideal.
No. So, you know, if you're out there playing, based on the weather, good time to get inside into a big ice box.
Yeah. Nice to get out of the heat for a little bit.
Yes. So as we are in the off season, thought we would go in and we've never done this. I just looked, Scott. We in 2019 did a sort of a preseason, like what do you do to get ready for the season? But we've never really done a deep dive into equipment and the type of equipment that people should look for. If you're new to the sport, trying to get into it, like what do you need immediately to get? And then for people who play regularly and have been around for a while, when to replace equipment. This is a pet peeve, I know, of a lot of ice makers, the replacement of certain equipment and what should you look for. So we're going to get into that a little bit because this is the time to maybe start looking around, buying. You can still get some sales out there before the fall when everyone's trying to buy stuff. So give yourself a little time if you're looking to replace some equipment. Nice little reminder. Before we get into that, though, Scott, have to give a happy trails to John Landsteiner, who announced today that he is stepping away from competitive curling. He was already in a bit of a part-time role last season with Team Schuster. He was the fifth at the U.S. Championships where they lost in the semifinal. He and Matt Hamilton were kind of trading off events as the fifth with the lineup shifts there. I think as the two of them are pursuing other things, and he put in his post today, he's an engineer. So that's an important job, a lot going on to be an engineer. He and his wife have welcomed two new children into the fold in the last quad. So we just said didn't have the energy or the sort of the desire to really push forward on everything it takes for that to complete this Olympic cycle. So absolutely a great career for John Landsteiner, gold medalist, one of the more soft-spoken guys when you watched a game, and but very effective. Always had those rocks in great spots for Team Schuster. So a congratulations to him on an absolutely wonderful career. I don't think, unless we go back to, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and I just don't know, but I think that is definitely the best American team that we've ever seen, or it's certainly the team that has reached the highest of highs out of the United States.
No doubt on that front, Sean. In listening to the Rocks Across the Pond ballad of John Schuster, you hear about how he formed the Rejects team after they were kicked out of the high performance program, and Landsteiner was part of that. Looking at his world championship appearances, he's been seven times. He's got his Olympic gold medal, been to the Olympics three times. So three-time Olympian, just really, really great career and a cool story to go along with the story of John Schuster. So wishing him all the best in his retirement. Sean, how old do you think John Landsteiner is?
Well, I read already. Yeah. So he's 35.
Surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like, oh, he's been around a while and he's pretty quiet. And I was like, huh.
Well, one of the photos he posted today on that retirement announcement was him winning the state championship, state high school championship back in 2004.
Huh.
So, wow. Yeah, I was not in high school in 2004.
No, nor was I.
Yeah. So congratulations, John Landsteiner, and a tip of the cap to him as he moves away from competitive curling. So he is going to play recreationally, Scott. So maybe this will help him as well. Ooh. If he's wondering what to do without that sweet Columbia money coming in now as he stepped away from that. So Scott, let's just go from the toes up. And that allows us to bookend with, I think, the two ones that are the biggest to talk about. So let's start with the toes. Let's start with shoes. And so let's start with, if you're a new player coming into the sport, what should you look for if you want to invest in a pair of shoes?
So the biggest thing that you're going to want to look for is comfort for you, but also the appropriate thickness of slider. So, and the appropriate material as well. So if you've never curled before, you're probably going to use a step on a slider or one that wraps around your regular shoes. Mm-hmm. But once it's time for you to buy some curling shoes, you've said, you know what, I'm into curling, I want to give it a go. There are generally three thicknesses of sliders that are made of Teflon. That's being 1/8 of an inch, 3/8, 1/4 of an inch, or 3/8 of an inch, as far as I know. Maybe I should fact check that. But yeah. If you're just starting out, a thinner slider means that you'll need to push a bit harder to get to the same distance as if you had a thicker slider. And what generally happens is that the players who have more experience get thicker sliders so that they can have a little more control over their leg kick and how far it gets them.
Yeah, it's really on the draws, I think, that it could really help. I mean, the thicker it is, like, you can kick, you get those big high peel weight ones, but on draws and such, you can kick and slide pretty far and still throw a draw, where on a really thin, like the slider that comes with a pair of shoes, if you're throwing a draw or if you're throwing a guard, you're probably not going to get out to the hog line, or at least not past, far past the hog line. So, you know, you just don't have that same level of control, as Scott says. The other thing too, when it comes to sliders, if you're looking to buy a pair of shoes, is, and it's hard to know if it's your first pair of shoes, if you want the full solid foot one or if you want discs. And I use discs. I've always used discs. It's just what I've learned on. But the full foot one, I think, is probably better for a new player, Scott, would be my thought, because it's a flatter surface and you're going to, I think, a more consistent slide. But what's your thoughts on the discs versus the full foot?
Yeah, I think you're right. For beginners, the full foot is probably best, just because you don't know how much you go up on your toe or anything like that. I switched to the discs, the Goldline little discs. I think there's 7 of them in total on the shoe, and I find it quite unstable, and like, especially when I first tried it, and I'd been playing for 25 years or something when I started wearing it. So yeah, a full foot is probably the way to go if you're just beginning. And then after that, you can choose whether you want to, you know, have a circle cut out of the middle, or have two discs of varying speeds, all that kind of stuff. You have discs, right?
I have discs. I have the Asham, so they're the bigger discs than the ones you have. The Goldline ones are a little smaller. So I have one under the ball of my foot and one on the heel. I have the same thickness on both. But there are people, if you're more of a toe thrower, then a lot of people don't have actually a slider on that back disc. They put a gripper back there if you're more on your toe. So I have those. I like those. The benefit, I think, of the discs compared to the flat foot, or one of the benefits, is you can rotate them. So you could pull off the disc, rotate it 90 degrees, and that helps you get away from wear marks on the discs themselves, which can help you, or can help avoid drifting left or right. Obviously, with the full foot one, you can't do that. Yeah. So that is a benefit. And of course, with the discs, they're replaceable, whereas the full foot ones tend to not be.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have just a full foot slider, once that slider gets some cracks in it, or like you say, some runs along the Teflon, you're going to need to replace the whole shoe rather than just swapping out the discs. Usually the discs are Velcroed on, Sean.
Correct.
Do you find that's enough for you?
Yeah, I've never had an issue. Like, if anything, I have, when I do rotate them, it's really hard for me to get off. Yeah,
I found that too. I used to have a full foot slider that was Velcroed on.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever get it off. Like, it was on there pretty good. So, I'll just look at the, go back to the thicknesses, Sean.
Yes.
So I was kind of right. They said 3/32 of an inch, which is almost
3/32,
which is a little under an eighth.
Okay.
5/32, which is a little over an eighth. And then 1/4 is the next one.
Okay.
So, and then Olsen's are 1/16, 3/32, 5/32, and 1/4. Okay. So 1/4 inch is the
thickest one. And then yeah. You're looking at stainless steel after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anybody does red brick anymore. Okay. That's an older style of sort of more solid plastic. Whereas the Teflon is the white sliders.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, Scott, if you are a new player and you're looking at a step-on slider or a wraparound, your foot slider, and you're wearing running shoes, I think it's very much a worthwhile investment to get two grippers, one for each foot, just to give you an extra balance out there. Mm-hmm. You know, some sneakers are really good for grip when you're outside, but curling ice is different than even normal ice outside. So you want to have the base of your foot be able to grip onto that ice. So having a gripper on both sides, I think, is a very worthwhile investment for a new player.
Yeah, I think so too. And I guess it should go without saying that your shoes that you do wear, if you have a step on or a wraparound slider, is that they should be only for curling.
Yeah. Don't wear them anywhere else.
Don't wear your shoes anywhere. No. Ideally, not even to the bathroom, but I know it's sometimes you got to go to the bathroom when you're playing a game. But yeah, you want them to be real clean. Never wear them outside.
Yeah. Now, Scott, for more experienced players, what point is it you absolutely should replace your shoes? What is the breaking point?
If your shoes start shedding anything onto the ice, that is definitely the time to replace them. And then if you're seeing some fraying, usually at the back is where it can fray from putting it on and taking it off all the time.
Yeah.
And then if you start to run through the toe is usually the other place, right? So as long as you're not shedding material onto the ice with your shoes, taking care of them, you like replacing the laces when they need to be replaced, replacing the insoles when they need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. You should be able to wear your shoes for at least 10 years, if not more.
Yeah. And to help with the long-term maintenance of the shoes, maybe not for a new player, but for folks who are a little more experienced, the toe dip on your drag foot, that helps not only with the speed, but also with just the sole at the toe coming apart from the shoe, depending on how you get up and how you slide. So that can add a little bit to the shoe in that sense. And the grippers do need to be replaced more frequently than the shoes. So your gripper, the sole of, if you're a right-handed player, the sole of your right shoe is going to last a lot longer than the gripper on your left shoe. So yeah. Be sure to replace that, as Scott said, if you're noticing debris out there, or just even as it gets flat spots, worn spots, like that's when you're going to want to start to replace it.
Yeah, and I think a good rule for recreational curlers is every year, get a new gripper every year. Yeah. There are some companies that will do take-backs, right? So they'll take your old gripper, maybe grind it up and make new ones. I'm not sure. But you can't just like toss it in the recycling. But if you can't find a way to get it back, or your curling facility won't take it back for you, then you just have to throw it away. But it's important because if the ice gets, if you're dropping little bits of rubber on the ice from your old gripper, then the chances of a pick go way, way up.
Yeah. And in terms of maintenance too, Joe Pavia from Hogline, I think. Is that what it's called?
Hogline Pro Shop.
Hogline Pro Shop.
Yeah.
Here in Ottawa. He told me his advice was, don't leave your shoes in your locker. Or if you're going to leave your shoes in your locker, don't leave anything else in there. Like, you want to have enough airflow around your shoes so they dry out. And even if you don't feel like your feet are sweaty, there's moisture in there. Yeah. At the very least. So you want to make sure they dry out. So the advice he gave me, and it's been pretty good in terms of maintaining the shoes, is not only do you want to kind of put the toe or the tongue up a bit, like loosen the laces, put the toe up or the tongue up, but also take the gripper off of the slider foot. And I put them just kind of up against the wall too. So there's a little more air going around them. I do that the night after the game. And the next day, I just put them back next to my bag. So that has been a productive way to ensure the quality of the shoe.
Very good. Very good advice.
All right, Scott, let's move on then. Socks. Now, companies sell curling socks. You can see them on TV in those close-up action shots of sweeping. What is your feeling on a good sock to wear at curling?
I've never heard of a curling sock, Sean. This is
okay. Hardline sells them. I'll say
that. And they call them curling socks?
I don't know. They just have socks that are branded as Hardline.
Okay. Well, I think socks are a very personal choice. What people want to wear. I think wear whatever keeps you warm and comfortable. If you know that you get quite warm from sweeping, and your feet get hot, maybe a merino wool or something that's thin that can dissipate that moisture a little bit better. But sometimes when I'm playing, my shoes are a little bit big, so I wear a thicker sock if I'm skipping because you're not moving around as much. But that's my only sock advice. I tend to only wear merino wool socks and the Blue Jay socks that you got me for a Christmas gift once. So those are like the only socks I wear. And if I wear them at curling, I wear them at curling. Otherwise, that's all the advice I have, Sean. What advice do you have about socks? Because I know you...
Yeah, I take it seriously. Yeah, so I wear soccer socks or football socks. I have both. I don't really know exactly what the difference is in terms of how they're designed for a football player versus a soccer player. But one time I bought them, they were labeled football. One time they were labeled the soccer. But I wear high socks just because I don't want my ankles to get cold. Like, it's such a stupid reason. I don't know. I've just gotten used to that, to have those socks up to my knees. So that's, I like those to wear. The thing though, for me, that I genuinely don't understand how people can come in, put on their curling shoes with the same socks that they wore coming in, go play, and then go up to the bar wearing the same sock. Like, I have to change the socks. Like, I don't understand how people can do that. Even if you're I don't know, like, even if you're skipping and not, like, your feet aren't like getting sweaty necessarily, I don't know. For me, I have to switch out the socks. On the rare occasion I forget a pair, I feel so gross.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. This is just a perfect example of how socks are a very personal choice. Yes. And what works for one may not work for the other.
Yes. All right, Scott. Next up, what's your feeling on knee guards, knee pads?
I think if you want to wear them, go for it. I know
not that necessary, but if you want to.
Yeah, definitely not necessary. When you're learning, it might be helpful to have. And then if you have some mobility issues where it's a bit harder to get up, I'd rather somebody wear a knee pad and put their knee on the ice than to just put their knee on the ice without a knee pad, because then it'd be more likely to create an indent. But with that pad there, it should provide a thermal barrier long enough to allow somebody to get on their knee and then pop up.
Yeah.
So I have no issues with them. If you want to wear them or need them, go for it. If not, don't.
Yeah, and I saw somebody late in this season, and it might have been at the Perry Bonspiel. Do you remember the major league guys don't wear them now because they're all on their all the catchers just are on their knees anyway? But the old knee savers that were popular in the late 90s, early aughts in Major League Baseball, somebody was wearing that on the slide leg, which I thought was maybe pretty smart. If you have a knee problem, but it's not bad enough to go to the stick, but provide a little relief on your knee. That I thought was an interesting idea.
Yeah, for when you're squatting in the hack.
Yeah.
Presumably, because when your leg is extended, you're probably okay. But
presumably.
Okay. I don't hate it.
Yeah. All right. It's got pants. I mean, you can wear any type of pants, but I think the key that some new players don't realize when they go play, you want to have some crotchal flexibility.
Yeah, flexibility is the name of the game with curling pants. So, but again, like if you take care of them, you shouldn't have to replace them very often. I have Goldline pants that I bought probably 15 years ago, maybe even more. And I'm surprised they still fit. I think I'm a lot bigger than I was 15, 20 years ago, but they do. So proof that they stretch. And then I think like non-curling brand pants that you could buy, like Lululemon's are a very popular choice, mostly with the ladies, but with the men's teams too. They wear Lululemon pants. I get a lot of Instagram ads for Jack Archer pants, which apparently are kind of like Lululemon's. I've not tried them. And I do have another kind of pants that I got, Doer pants. They're a Canadian company, and they're quite stretchy as well. So, you know, if you aren't into going and buying curling pants, you could look into these other kind of stretchy pants. You could wear sweatpants if you want. It's not going to keep you as warm as a curling pant because they'll be a little bit thicker, the curling pants. But that's what I think. You've had your pants for a long time too, right?
Yeah, really long time. Probably around the same time frame. I got them after I'd moved to Ottawa, and I moved to Ottawa in 2009. But it wasn't long after I'd moved to Ottawa. So maybe after the first season I was here. But yeah, they hold up pretty good. And if you're somebody who has your knee closer to the ice or drags your knee on the ice a bit, then they'll wear a little more. Like,
yeah.
If not, you'll still get a bit of wear on it just because the fabric will touch the ice. But otherwise, like, you know, 40 times over, let's say 50 over 15 years, that's what I've worn. That's 750 times roughly. Yeah. That's pretty good. And they're not like there's no issues with any of the seams anywhere. So like a good curling pant can be a good investment. Again, if you take care of them.
Yeah, for sure. Mine do drag. So mine are like so old that I think they're boot cut. I don't know why it's like required to have boot cut curling pants because you're not wearing boots out there. But anyway, they are a bit loose, you know, from the calf down. Mm-hmm. And I do have a mark on my right knee from where my pants just hit the ice when I slide. It's not going away, but the pants are fine.
Yeah. Is there any point at which a pant can become disruptive to the game? I mean, obviously if you have rips and stuff in them, they can be disruptive to you comfort wise. And depending on where the rips are, they could be disruptive to the other players on the ice. But in terms of, you know, we talked about how shoes can actually disrupt the play on the ice. You know, unless you're wearing like a fleece pant that could shed, I don't think there's a similar concern on pants.
No, I don't think so. That would probably be it. I've seen people playing shorts too.
Yeah,
I don't like it, but no.
It's more of a, it's like usually a summer spiel thing. Go play in shorts.
Yeah, usually. There's one guy at our club that does dumb stuff and sometimes wears shorts. And
on the list of his transgressions, shorts I don't think are in the top 10.
No, I always just give my head a shake there. But yeah, make sure your pants are like properly belted and your shirt's tucked in so that you know, you don't have any crack action showing when you go down into the into your slide, because that's gross.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, shirt, Scott, I like the quick dry shirt as a base layer. Yeah. So I have a couple long sleeve quick dry shirts, like compression quick dry shirts. So I really like those as a base layer. Then I wear a hoodie usually. I have gone with t-shirts occasionally, but as I've gotten older, I've noticed the arenas have gotten colder. It has nothing to do with me. The arenas are set a bit colder. So I go with that. But I really like that as a base layer. One, because it keeps warm when it's cool. But if there is, say, the second half of an end as a front end player, if it's full post-to-post sweeps on the last four rocks of an end, you can get a little bit of a sweat going. And then you stand around a bit, and then when it's your turn to throw, like, so the quick dry, I think, really helps with preventing getting cold in cases where there is a bit of sweat. So I really like that as a base layer.
Yeah. Getting some moisture away from your skin is the key.
Yeah.
So I mentioned merino wool socks. I'm a merino wool shirt man as well. I find it's just the best fabric to do just that, get the sweat away from you and dissipate it. And the best part about it, Sean, is they don't stink. Like, I can go and I can go to the gym in a merino wool shirt, which I don't do a lot, but occasionally I have, and I just hang it up when I get home, and the next morning it doesn't smell like anything. Right. Like, it's incredible. So that would be my number one choice. I usually wear a hoodie as well. And when I'm skipping, like a long sleeve sort of base layer shirt with a hoodie on top is pretty key. Anything to keep you from getting cold is, I think, the best choice for everybody.
Little known fact here too, Scott is a merino wool salesman, so come on.
use my promo code.
You're really pushing the merino wool here, Scotty.
I love it, Sean. I love it.
You should be pushing. If you need a hoodie, gameofstonespod.com. anyway,
there you go.
All right, gloves, Scott. I have a pair of gloves that our buddy Dean, his daughter was 7, I think, at a learn to curl. And I was there practicing, and she said to me, "There's a big hole in your glove. You need a new one." She is now going into or just completed grade 10.
Okay.
I am wearing the same gloves. I think the year of COVID, the 2020-2021 season, I think I said, "Oh, once we lose a game, I'll change." And then we went on a run. I still have them. I don't know. Like, the left one is fine. It's all the right. So my right hand is low when I sweep, and I also take the glove off to throw.
Yeah.
So all the most of the pressure is on the right one, and then just the repetitiveness of taking it, like ripping the Velcro on and off. The right one is, it's fine, but it progressively is getting to the point where it's not fine. The left one is pristine.
Wow,
it looks great, but they're so comfortable. I don't get blisters from them. So I have another pair that I've slowly started to break in. Like, when I spare at the other club, I'll use those ones. Sometimes at Spiels, I'll throw those in for a game. So I'm trying to break them in slowly, but I love these gloves, and I don't really want to change them, but I should. I do know that they're not affecting the game, though. Nothing is coming off of them.
Right, good.
So they're just kind of ripping a bit. So I've noticed that. Some people really like mitts, and there are curling-specific mitts that you can get. But what's your thought on gloves?
Yeah, I think it's down to personal preference. When you're sweeping, gloves are very useful, like you said, at being able to grip the brush. Especially if you tend to get sweaty hands, right? You don't want to be sweeping and like, ooh, just sort of having that bottom hand slip. I don't love wearing gloves. Like, if I could just not, I would. I don't even like them in regular life. I always just would stick my hands in my pockets and it would be fine. But, you know, you can't do that forever. So I do have some day-to-day gloves now. But
what are they made of?
They're not merino wool. I think I got them at the drugstore.
Oh, okay.
And like, I've thought about getting nice gloves, but whatever. I'll forget them somewhere. These $15 ones from the drugstore are good enough. So, but for curling gloves, I did buy some new ones And I think it's important to make sure you get the size of your hand right.
Yeah.
So I do have pretty big hands, and I bought these gloves, but they're a little too big for me. And I don't like wearing them because they just feel like a bit off when you're sweeping. So
yeah. Well, your hand's going to move in them a little. Like, one of the reasons to wear a glove is to prevent blisters.
Right.
And if your hand is moving a bit, you're just creating more friction than you would if you're just not on the broom without using a glove.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So make sure that you get a good one that fits. One thing I've done in the past is I've gone to Mech and bought paddling gloves. Like kayaking and paddling gloves. And those are usually cheaper than branded curling gloves. And they offer the same kind of sort of stickiness for holding onto a paddle. So I did that in Victoria. I think I got them for $5 or something. Like, they were on sale. Nice. And those lasted me a pretty long time, and they were comfortable. You could slip them on and off rather than have the Velcro. They would just come off, which I found a lot easier too, because they're a bit stretchy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So yeah, again, personal preference there. And again, if anything's shedding off of them, you should definitely replace them. All right, Scott, helmets or headwear. I think certainly headwear would, again, personal preference, whatever you are comfortable with. If you are follically challenged, from personal experience, a hat is necessary. Otherwise, it could be a little chilly out there. But what is your feeling on helmets? Because I'm of the mind that they are going to be mandatory at some point during my curling playing life.
Interesting. I could see that coming. I could see it coming. I would say not for the people on TV. Part of what the TVs want is to see the faces. And that's a way to build kind of your audience. But I mean, if you want to wear a helmet, I say go for it. There shouldn't be any reason not to. At softball, I'm the only one that wears a helmet.
Yep.
And nobody can make me feel bad about it. Like, okay, cool. Yep. When they're chasing my home runs, maybe they feel different. But I think helmets are up to you if you want to wear them. I remember when I started curling, Sean, there was a boy who had epilepsy. And so was always wearing his helmet in case he would have a seizure on the ice. And so, it was kind of normal to me then when I was 10 years old. And, if I see somebody with a helmet, good on.
Yeah. The other thing too, they have now, I don't know which, if it's specific to one of the companies, but they have a hat that you can buy that has padding in the back. Because in curling, the most likely way you're going to hit your head is by falling backwards, landing on your butt, and your head snaps back and hits the ice. That is the most likely way that you're going to hit your head. You can certainly fall forward and hurt yourself that way. But in that scenario, you have your hands that might hopefully break the fall for you. If you fall on the stone, a la Brad Gushue at that slam a few years ago, that of course does some damage, but that was more in the Gushue case, I think it was more his face than necessarily anything a helmet would have helped with. But even just getting a hat like that, if you're unsure or unsteady on the ice at all, I think it's a really good idea. And I can't remember which CEO it was of which company, but basically said, when there's been a fall at a club, because they start getting orders for these from that community. So it can be scary when somebody falls on the ice. So having some sort of protection out there, it's not a bad idea. And again, if you're unsteady, unsure, like, absolutely no stigma or anything like that. Like, you want to wear it, go for it.
Yeah. And there's quite a few companies that have some that are like shaped like toques.
Nice.
Or a bike helmet or a regular helmet, like a hockey helmet,
right?
All sorts of different kinds. So, if you want to get out there and protect your head, please do it.
Yeah. All right. And then finally, brooms. A lot of talk of brooms recently in the world of curling. Scott, at the rec level, What should people be looking out for? What makes a good broom, in your opinion?
To be honest, the best for brooms is to be as light as possible, especially for rec players, because, you know, it's easier to get a better sweep on the rock as light as the broom is. The other thing is obviously broom heads. The broom head gets dirty pretty fast. At a curling club, it'll get dirty a little bit faster. You know, you've got rentals that come in, and, you know, the ice makers do a great job, but there's always just going to be a little more debris on the ice than at a big bond spiel. So the advice on replacing your broom head is to replace it probably every season is good enough for rec curlers. Some people can get a little bit more out of that depending how much you play. But the pros replace them
every
event usually. And if not every game.
The head, the broom head will be every game.
Yeah,
they'll do. Unless you're the skip. Then.
Well, I mean, that's like pretty crazy. I think there might be some rules that come in about that saying you can't. If they're trying to reduce the effectiveness of sweeping, then.
That would be one way to do it for sure.
Just say you get to use one broom head for the event.
That's the whole event, yeah. That'd be interesting for sure.
Yeah. I think one of the Grand Slams did that a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Where that's, they couldn't replace their heads and say, yeah, the curlers were like, oh, we're not as effective. Like, yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a golfer puts a new ball down for every shot.
No, but they'll go through, they won't use the same ball for more than a round.
Not more than a round, but yeah, they'll use it for the whole round.
Well, if they're lucky.
Yes, that's true.
Rare is the day, Scott.
Oh, me and you. I mean, me, no, I can't get through a round without replacing a ball.
Yeah, and the other thing too, I think with brooms, with certainly the broom head, you want to replace that pretty regularly. But if you have a broom, like the handle that, and you like it, and it's good for you, like you could do like one for your whole curling career. Like those things really do stand up well. I've had issues with the head of mine, like not the brush part, but the head. Have had issues with that I've talked about before, where it gets a little loose. But, you know, I've replaced it a couple times and it's been fine. So, yeah, if you have a broom handle that you really like, it can be a very worthwhile investment if you get a good one. And I'll be honest, on brooms and all these other things, I am not loyal to any brand at all. Like whichever one feels good, I'll keep going. Like when I'm playing, the shoes are a company, the pants are a different company, the gloves are another company. And I now that I've, the team has won this broom, I'll be honest, don't know what brand it is. So I don't know what brand of broom I'll be sporting come the fall.
Yeah. And really it should just be whatever's comfortable for you. Usually they have two different sized handles, so there's a thinner handle and a bit thicker. I like to have a bit thicker handle just because I have bigger hands, so I find it more comfortable to sweep with. But if you have smaller hands, choose the smaller one. If there's no difference in weight, then choose whatever's comfortable for you. Like I said, lighter is probably better. Just because it takes less effort to use it, and you'll have less stress on your shoulders and elbows and arms. But brands are kind of whatever. I remember when the ice pad came out.
That was a big deal. Yeah.
And I used it at a bond spiel. I think I was playing in Montreal and they had a demo broom there. And so we were like passing it around between the team using it. And I felt like, whoa, this isn't for me. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm unsteady. I need to use my horsehair broom. But now all of the broom heads are kind of like the ice pad. So, you know, times change. So if you feel like your equipment is outdated or you can't get new heads for it, like if you're still playing with a hammer brush, probably you shouldn't be, because I don't think you can buy hammer heads anymore.
Probably not.
Unless you make your own, which is
good on you.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if that's the case, or if, you know, you're playing with a hair broom, I don't know who does anymore, but if you're dropping hairs, that broom needs to be retired.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Even if you're just using it to throw, if anything's coming off of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the corn brooms, like the players that throw with corn brooms still have them all wrapped up. So there's nothing coming off of them.
It's more duct tape than corn with most of them at this point.
Yeah. Which is, or usually electrical tape instead of duct tape.
Right.
Yeah. But
yeah.
What's the point?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Our thoughts on the equipment. And unless I missed something out, Scott, I think we've gone head to toe in accessory, but
what about stopwatches, Sean?
Of stopwatches. I don't use one.
Yeah. So that's why you forgot.
So that's why I forgot. Now there's two different types. There's ones that you can wrap onto the broom. And have it kind of close to where your lower hand is and time it that way. And then there's the other traditional stopwatch. Some people like to have it wrapped around their waists. Other people just pop it in their pocket. Usually the men put it in their pocket because there's this myth for a long time that, they don't use stopwatches. Like, they can just do it by their eyes. Well, but the whole time you could see that they were looking at stopwatches anyway. Those are sort of the stopwatches. You use a stopwatch. What do you prefer?
Yeah, I like the kind you wrap around your waist. I use it to mostly do hog-to-hog times just so I can see how fast the ice is. I don't use it for split times or really talk about split times that much. If I play with Dean, he'll give me split times to go by or ask about split times. So sometimes I'll measure then. But yeah, and for replacing it, if it doesn't work anymore, you replace
it. When the battery dies, yeah.
Or you put a new battery in.
Well, yeah, but you got to replace the battery.
Replace the battery. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I had one for a long time. I've had one, and then I knew the battery died because there was an alarm on it that would go off at noon every day. And then when I stopped hearing the alarm at noon, I was like, the battery must be dead. Oh. And then I just never replaced it, and now I just pure feel player.
You needed the reminder to replace it, but you didn't get one because the clock was dead.
Yeah, but I do like being just a feel player. I there's value in the stopwatch. I will not deny it. And on the teams I play on, other people use it. So I think for me, if I was playing with people who nobody used it, maybe I would get one just to have that extra point of information, the extra piece of information. But since on both teams other people are using it, I think having me who goes on feel can be helpful in that I'm watching things that the stopwatch won't pick up, like a push, like when the person pushes on the release or pulls back on the release. Like those are things, if you're just timing and you're focused on when does the rock get to the hog line, you might miss things on the release. So I think having that nix when I'm sweeping with somebody who's using a watch, I think that can be a very effective combo.
Yeah, I agree. I think having both players just staring at stopwatches is not a good use of your sweeping skill set.
Yeah. So there you go.
One more thing, Sean, that you forgot, and we would be remiss if we missed it, would be delivery sticks, delivery devices. Of course. If you're playing with a stick and using a stick as a delivery device, if it's broken, replace it. Otherwise, you're fine.
Now, there's the two styles, too. There's the ones where you can get the stick add-on to your broom. So you have the one piece of equipment you're using for the whole game, and you just flip it, basically rotate it, and one side broom down, the other side would be the stick, and other people would use or preferred the stick on its own.
And some people put the delivery attachment to the opposite end of their broom.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah,
so, that one too. You can do that as well.
Yeah.
There's delivery devices. We mentioned the corn broom that's wrapped up that would fall in this category.
Yep.
But also a stabilizer. A crutch, whatever you want to call it. So those things you should replace. If you notice, there's a lot of wear and tear on the bottom. Some of them now have Teflon, Teflon on the bottom. I think Jesse's is like that. So it's not going to wear out as quickly. But if you have sort of the old original stabilizer that was kind of made of PVC piping, the bottoms can wear out. Some have broom heads on them. They're not going to wear out very fast because you're just cleaning the rock with it, but look out for that too. And then if you notice any cracks develop, you want to get that replaced before, you know, you fall and turns into an injury.
Yeah, so I did see this year, I think it was a Thursday night, so you wouldn't have been there. Somebody, it wasn't on a stabilizer, it was on their broom, but leaned on it in the hack as they were going to throw, and it just snapped. So clearly there was a crack in it that hadn't been noticed.
Yeah.
So yeah, you want to make sure you're keeping an eye out for those sorts of things, because if it goes when you're in the middle of a sweep or throwing, yeah, like you say, it can lead to an injury.
Yeah, big time. Not, yeah. Ugh, yuck.
Yeah, don't want that. Don't want that at all. So there you have it. A little bit of a rundown of curling equipment, what to look for when you're getting equipment, when to replace your pieces of equipment. And again, if you're playing in the fall through spring season, that time frame, this is a good chance or a good time to go get some equipment. Still some sales going on. Get in some orders. Get everything and you can try it on. Make sure it's comfortable before the season starts, because it will be here before you know it. And we'll be with you every step of the way of what will be a very fun curling season this year. So if you want to follow along with everything we got going on and you have not yet, please do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Like, rate, comment, all that good stuff helps other people find the show. Head on over to GameStonesPod.com. Past episodes plus a link to the merch. We're on the socials at GameStonesPod, except for Facebook, where it's GameStonesPodcast. And if you want to let us know what you want to hear on the show, GameStonesPodcast@gmail.com. As I look at my list of episodes here, Scott, of summer episodes ideas, one of them, we will look to solicit some listener feedback or ideas, because one of the ones we talked about over the winter, Am I the Asshole? Curling edition. So if you have any stories or situations where you're not sure if you or someone you were with was the asshole, we would be happy to adjudicate those. So send those in either social media, send us an email for Am I the Asshole, or just any general questions. We'll do another mailbag / look at Reddit, the curling Reddit, and see what's going on. We'll do another episode like that. Mm-hmm. So if you have stuff like that, please do send it in, GameStonesPodcast@gmail.com or on the socials.
Yeah, love it. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so there you have it. That's what we got for you this week. Hope everybody is staying cool out there in this heat wave. And again, before you know it, it'll be freezing. Snow will be flying. So I guess enjoy it as much as you can, Scotty.
Yes, Sean, you too. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Take it easy, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. And as always, keep those brooms on the ice and don't dump that intern.
Make the final.